15 years ago this Monday, Timothy McVeigh exploded a truck bomb outside the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in downtown Oklahoma City. The blast killed 168 people, including 19 children, and was, until September 11, 2001, the deadliest terrorist attack on American soil. McVeigh had ties to the militia movement and was retaliating for the government's raid on the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas, exactly 2 years earlier. But before the FBI identified McVeigh and co-conspirator Terry Nichols as the prime suspects in the bombing, many terrorism experts and news reporters speculated that there might be a Middle East connection. The first World Trade Center bombing had occurred only 3 years before, and it was the Bosnian genocide, the ethnic cleansing of Muslims at the hands of militant Serbs and warlords. Views of the American Muslim community were shaped by that context. Reporter Scott Gurian looks back at the rush to judgment by the media and by law enforcement.
In the 36 hours following the bombing, the Council on American Islamic Relations documented hundreds of cases of what it calls anti-Muslim backlash across the country. There were reports of vandalism and death threats. Talk radio callers went off on racist rants, and a pregnant Iraqi refugee in Oklahoma City suffered a miscarriage after a group of people threw rocks through her windows and shouted anti-Islamic epithets. Imad Inshasi, the president of the Islamic Society of Greater Oklahoma City, said his fear was sparked the moment he heard the blast.
I remember very vividly that I was going to the bank to make a deposit at 9:01, where I could hear a very loud explosion. My secretary at that time, she told me this sounded like some kind of a thunder or something. I said, well, having lived in Lebanon, this sounds like an explosion.
Governor, describe for us, as you walked through the building, what did you see?
Well, it's Beirut. I mean, it's just incredible.
Sure enough, on the radio, the news was some kind of an explosion downtown, still not familiar with what it was. And not too far after that, when it was concluded that it was some kind of a car bomb and so on and so forth, the news traveled very fast, and all of a sudden, on the news, they were looking for two Middle Eastern Arabs with a description that fits my profile, and we realized that it's going to be troublesome.
Three suspects, three men, two of whom are described as Middle Eastern. They're said to be driving a brown Chevrolet pickup.
To the local newspaper and one of the local television stations by someone saying they represented an Islamic group claiming responsibility, but at this point, no official word.
One of the descriptions is a 20 to 25-year-old male wearing blue jogging suit, another 35 to 38-year-olds old wearing a blue jogging suit and brown pants, beard, mustache,
and brown hair. Oklahoma City also said a member of the Nation of Islam claimed responsibility, but that group also vehemently denies any connection with the attack.
Part of the reason so much early suspicion was cast on Middle Easterners was the government's detention of Oklahoma City resident Abraham Ahmed. Ahmed was a Palestinian American en route to visit his family in Amman, Jordan on the morning of April 19th. He fit the FBI's profile, and the contents of his luggage raised some suspicions, so he was taken into custody at London's Heathrow Airport, sent back to Washington, and held for 3 days. He had no connection to the bombing, but was portrayed in the media as a guilty man.
And I was sitting at home watching it, and I believed it.
Imad Inshasi.
That I believe my very best friend that I grew up with and I went to college with could have been one of the perpetrators. And then I go back to my senses and said, no, there's no way he would do that. But then I'll go back and see some of the news reports, some of the expert reports, and some of the media, Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 9, coming back saying they found bomb-making material in his luggage and so on and so forth. So I believe it. It was a very strong message, even to me, who was Muslim and who knew that person very, very, very well, that I have believed that he could have done something like that. So imagine what kind of an effect it would have on a regular person on the street.
Ibrahim Hooper is spokesperson for the Council on American Islamic Relations.
After those first initial days when it was thought that Middle Easterners or Muslims or whoever had done it, we saw that when it was clear that that was not the case, it was like a slap in the face for many people. And they recognized that, you know, this isn't the way you need to look at things, that you can have domestic terrorism, that people who look like, quote, regular Americans can be terrorists.
The FBI says the majority of terrorist incidents and attacks in the U.S. come from within. But as Jim Narikis with the liberal media watchdog group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting has observed, that runs counter to the media's prevailing narrative, or as he calls it, metaphor.
The main metaphors are the invasion metaphor and the infection metaphor. And in both cases, you're thinking of something that is coming from outside the body politic and is entering against your will, and if you could only keep that out, then you'd be safe. There is kind of a xenophobia lying beneath it, that terrorism is what you get when you are exposed to the other. And so the solution to terrorism is to have a heightened awareness and a suspicion of the other.
In part, it's suspicion of the other that motivates the militia movement, which is on the rise. That's why it's important to remember not just September 11th, 2001, but also April 19th, 1995. For On the Media, I'm Scott Gurian.